Yes, come right up around the table. Come on up front, right up tight here, and we're going to have communion together as a first act of worship. Let's give thanks. Father, we do thank you for your goodness and mercy. We gather together today in the name of Jesus, acknowledging your faithfulness, your goodness, your mercy. We yield our lives and our hearts to you, invite you to order our thoughts, words, and deeds. In Jesus' name. Purify our hearts, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name. Lead us paths of righteousness. In Jesus' name. Amen. As a first thing, I'm going to ask Coralie to share. Lucky Coralie. One of the things we did last week was make opportunity to hear from the Lord and in special occasions. Let me acknowledge something. Last week I was talking about how I'd been hearing from the Lord again and again and again in the midnight hours. This week, nothing. I was up, I was at it, but nothing that I could record, you know. And so we can laugh at George if you want to, but I know that some of you were working at it, and no doubt we'll hear some. But Coralie did hear something from the Lord this week, and I'd just like you to share it with us, Coralie.
Put it right on your chin.
So I was reading Esther this week, and, you know, we usually focus on the moment where she has to go in to the king and risk her life, but the Lord had me focus on leading up to that she and Mordecai were just obedient, just loving the Lord. You know, he told her to keep quiet about being a Jew, so it wasn't like she was preaching to everybody in the king's household or making a public stand against some of their pagan things they were doing. They were just walking with the Lord, loving him, being faithful, so that then they were ready and in the place when he needed them. And so, you know, sometimes we feel like we're supposed to have a big ministry or something. We're supposed to be doing some big thing all the time. And I guess the Lord was just telling me, it's okay. Just walk with him. Just love him, and then you'll be in the place if that moment comes.
Can you agree to that, or do you think she missed it?
No, she got it right.
One of the tragedies of the church is that often people pursue a ministry that they haven't been assigned to do something, and it ends up disaster for them, disaster for the people that they're trying to touch. And then they say, why? How come God wasn't faithful? Well, they're doing what God didn't call them to do, you know. And so there's a get on with it, with hearing God and doing what He has to. Did you want to say something, Estella?
I just want to say, that goes with when I say to God, why am I here now? What am I doing here?
Yeah. And it's His timing and His will that we need to line up to. Anybody else hear from the Lord this week that you?
Can I just throw something in really quick? If you look at the book of Esther, it's an interesting book because I can't remember this for certain. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I think the word God isn't even in it. And yet, here you have people just faithfully doing what they're called to do, one foot in front of the other, one foot in front of the other, and there you go. I don't know. Pretty significant.
So sometimes it's being alone. Sometimes it's being dead. Sometimes it's being astray. Sometimes it's chasing them out.
faithfully before the Lord.
Prepared for such a time as this. Well, then it hadn't been ongoing, the such a time as this. This time hasn't been for 14 years. It's you've been prepping for this moment. This moment only happens in this moment. The prepping was, you know what I mean?
When I first heard Corley's testimony of what God said, the word obedience was, you know, Esther was being obedient to her uncle, sort of stepfatherish kind of uncle, her just simply doing what he said. That's it. And you know, she gets to the royal situation, just simply obeying. That's it. Nothing great, nothing major. Really? Maybe that was great and major. Maybe her obedience was in fact great and major. Maybe. I think so, for such a time as this comes along.
Did you want to comment?
Yes, Thursday morning when I woke up, I felt the Lord say that he had joy for me that I hadn't experienced, and abiding joy, whatever that is. And then Friday morning I was inquiring, and he said, just one word, perseverance.
In a way, that's a word to all of us this morning. To persevere with what God has called us to do and be. Jesus said to his disciples on that night that he was betrayed, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so we gather around the table here this morning, doing what he required of us, remembering him. So you guys can serve. Would you bless the elements, Coralie, and then Dave, you'll do the juice in a bit. Go ahead.
Lord God, we thank you for your sacrifice for us. We thank you for loving us, and we thank you that you are with us every moment in everything that we are doing. And we give ourselves to you today and say we will be obedient to you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
We will be obedient.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness to us, that your sacrifice is for us today. And so today we receive that which was done 2,000 years ago. We receive it for us today. In Jesus' name. Would you say, I receive?
I receive.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
Take and eat. And when he had finished the meal, he passed the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." I wish there were instant replays of what everybody was thinking when he introduced the cup. Can you imagine? Wouldn't it be fun to hear what Peter said, "Go," and what Thomas, "You've got to be kidding me," and what John was saying. it would have been fun to get an instant replay of all that. Of course, we don't know. But here we are today. We do understand a little bit more about what it's all about. He shed his blood for the remission of sins. And this morning, as we gather around the table, we acknowledge the benefit of the blood of Jesus for us. Would you give thanks?
Father, we are grateful, deeply grateful, that you shed your blood to create a pathway for us, that we can communicate with you, that we can commune with you, that we can crawl up on your lap and call you Daddy, that you're our God. The suffering that you've done, the blood you shed, for our sake, we are truly grateful.
Father, we do give you thanks for the unspeakable gift, the life, the death, and the resurrection life of Jesus, which you have given to us. We thank you. Take and drink. The scriptures say they sang a hymn and went out. We suggest that you join in singing the hymn, but don't go out yet. All right, you can go find your seat if you can, and we're going to sing a hymn or two.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, the darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. My life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. So good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I will sing
of the goodness of God. Solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and that's why I sing your praise with ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. You father the orphan, your kindness makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness, and our strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. For you will have your bride, free of all her guilt, and free of all her shame, known by her true name. And that's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. You will be praised. Saints, we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints, we sing.
Follow.
serve, I surrender. If this life I lose, I will follow you.
You have no equal now and forever.
Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, the King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is.
What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. Now and forever, God, you reign.
Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is.
What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus Christ.
Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is.
The name of Jesus.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail. Morning by morning.
Father, we are so grateful that you are faithful. You're faithful. You're faithful. Your faithfulness is great. Bigger and beyond anything that we can even imagine. We rest ourselves back into you, into your love, into your faithfulness. We entrust ourselves to you, for you are faithful. You are faithful. And we love you. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to be aware of a quick announcement. Dad, I lost my piece of paper. I think it's in your, there it is. It's in your bulletin anyway, but it's, it says Refreshing Times with Father, and this is the announcement that Fount Schultz and his wife Linda will be with us in a couple of weeks. We're really looking forward to sharing time with them. They're going to be around actually most of that week, and just going to be leveraging them and enjoying them. They're just such a powerful ministering couple, and with such significant teachings and life-giving things. So I'd encourage you to make time on Friday, June 14th in the evening, and Saturday in the morning and early afternoon. Fount will also be sharing with us that Sunday. And so I want to encourage you to make time for that. This is a food pantry week, as you guys probably are aware. So you could please keep us all in prayer and keep that whole thing in prayer as well. Couple quick things. Addition you see in your bulletin, Prayer for the Nation coming up at Ontario Baptist Church with Don Davis and his gang on June 21st at 6:30 p.m. So put that on your calendar as well. I would appreciate it. We can use some help on the lawn mowing. The lawn mowing schedule is mostly free from here on out. Okay, so if you have time this week or one of the following weeks, the sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board, I believe, out in the fellowship hall. So if you could sign up there, much appreciated. This Sunday, today, is a day that's been designated by a number of area church, well, not area church, but national church leaders, as a day of prayer, in particular for our president. And I'd like to lead us in prayer for our president. Dad routinely reminds us that whereas we as Americans think that we elect a president, that God is the one who establishes authority. And if you have something that you don't like about how Trump has lived his life in the past few years, join the crowd. If, on the other hand, you'd like to release a blessing over this nation, then join this crowd that blesses a president, because God has called us to that place. There was a strong sense in my heart. I just want to talk to you guys just briefly before we pray together. I will pray, and if there's a few of you that would like to join me in blessing our president, I'd be delighted to have that happen. Has anybody ever heard, "He's not my president"? Has anybody ever heard somebody say that? Has anybody ever had some piece of that maybe feel resonant inside their heart? Maybe said it, maybe didn't say it. Has anybody said, oh, I'll never this or I'll never that with respect to your president? I know there's been an awful lot of that out there, okay? Those are called vows. In fact, they're unholy, ungodly vows. Those sorts of things have been rampant, and they burden us as a nation with bondage and constraint that restricts the flow of the blessing of the Lord. So we are going to, together, if you don't mind, you can join me with me if you want. I'm just going to, actually, using a prayer that Fountain Linda used with Gina and me as they were ministering about vows. If you can't say this for yourself, then would you prophetically say it for the nation? Would you do that for me? Would you stand in the place of the nation in disavowing some of these statements that have been made?
We were at Shepherd's Heart last night, and they were talking some about the president, and something really struck me. He said, he was talking about rejection, and he said, do you know that Trump deals with rejection every day and has for his whole life? And don't we deal with rejection? And how well do we deal with rejection? Aren't these vows just saying, I'm gonna reject you? And so in this, let's not only break those vows, ungodly curses, if we can go that far, but also pray for the man that he will be healed from the rejection that is. Because to get him better, rejecting him isn't the answer.
So.
To getting him better probably is healing the rejection. Yeah. And so just I just thought that tied in with what you were saying.
It's such a key thing. We need to understand the spiritual implications of the things that we or even our compatriots do. So I'd just like to have some prayers in agreement.
Not sure where you're beginning, but perhaps the place that we should begin is to repent for the church. For a large portion of the church has not supported him. Go ahead, however you want.
Okay, so let's agree in prayer in this beginning. Father, we just come before you, first of all, representing ourselves. Father, if there's been in us something of rejection toward our president, the president that you gave to us, we right now, we repent. We by your Spirit, come into the place of turning around and breaking off rejection. We are not those who operate in a spirit of rejection, in particular a spirit of rebellion against you, Father, because you're the one who sets in authority. So we repent for our rebellion. We repent for the release of rejection.
And accusation. To the degree that we have joined those who accuse, rightly or wrongly, we have no part. We agree no longer with the accuser. We agree no longer with the accuser, and we repent for accusation in our lives and in the church of Jesus Christ. We repent. We beg for mercy for us and for the man that you have placed in authority.
And we do stand in the place of the church and representing the church, and we ask, Father, for the gift of repentance to shift our heart to be something that's more concurrent with what you're up to, more coherent with your life and your love and your love that heals instead of rejects. We ask for you for your grace. We ask for your grace, not just for ourselves, but for this whole, the whole church, the church, maybe just in the U.S., but maybe beyond the U.S., we repent on behalf of the church and ask for a new heart of blessing instead of cursing, a new heart of life and of healing instead of rejection. We pray for a new heart for us and for all those around us. We pray. And now we just break off every vow. We repent. We declare that those vows were unholy, and we release, in Jesus' name, the church and even the American people from those unholy vows. Lord, I pray that you would cause in each heart a grabbing a hold of a truth that is bigger than their feelings of anger, their feelings of their own rejection, their feelings of their own powerlessness or victimization, their feelings of frustration with the process, frustration with the person, the lies that came through the media, the lies that came through everywhere else that caused judgments. We repent for those things, and we cut off the vows that were connected with all of those feelings. In the name of Jesus, we sever those, and we release the United States of America from those loudly shouted, angrily proclaimed vows and curses. In Jesus' name, we break those things off. At the root, we destroy them. We confess that the judgments that we have made as a people and as a church, we confess that those were against you and against your throne. And so we repent again. We say those judgments are not ours. We repent and we sever those. We render them powerless in the name of Jesus. We declare them broken and undone in Jesus' name.
In your bulletin, there's pictures of President Trump and Melania and the Queen of England and Chuck Schumer and Pelosi. And there's one other picture. I've forgotten. Who's the other one?
Putin.
And in our need to repent, both as a church and as a nation, we have railed against all kinds of authority, governmental authority, and authority in general, but authority. And feeling righteous in our proclamation. I mean, what in the world is Pelosi doing in the bulletin? Well, she's put there to be blessed. I don't want to bless her.
I
got other words.
We're going to find blessing. Okay,
we'll get there.
Just 1 second. I want us to. I'm taking my glasses off so I can see. I want us to forgive. I want you to stay with me on this, okay? I want us to forgive the media. Are we ready to forgive the media? Okay? Because they said stuff and we agreed with their judgments. Or maybe we railed against them and railed against the other people and Pelosi and this and that and the other. So we forgive the media for helping us in our bad attitudes. We forgive all those that have lied to us. Amen? We release them from our judgments. We release the governing authorities from our judgments and from the effects of their judgments on our lives and on their lives and also the media. And we just release them in Jesus' name. And we render that whole ball of tangled web inert and powerless in the name of Jesus. All of those judgments, all of those intriguing and nasty things that they've done, we cut them off. We render them powerless in the name of Jesus and by his blood. We ask you, Father, as ourselves and also as a church, to, Father, forgive us for making these judgments and for agreeing or even vociferously disagreeing so that we judge someone else or curse someone else. We repent for our participation in the whole stupid game instead of being your people and releasing your life.
As for the church at large, Lord, we, the corporate we, desperately need your mercy, forgiveness, and a new beginning.
We accept your forgiveness on behalf of ourselves and on behalf of the church for participation in any degree where we've been involved. We accept your forgiveness and we declare a release of forgiveness over this nation in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We ask for forgiveness for not loving them the way you love them.
We ask that you will change our hearts to love them as you love them. Forgive us for finding hate in our hearts for those poor souls that are deceived. And we pray for their salvation, your goodness, and your love to break the deception, to clean the scales off from their eyes, that they can turn to you and see and know truth, and that we will walk as you walked and love them.
In the name of Jesus, we cut off every demonic force that has been released due to these curses, these vows, these railing judgments. We just say you, we see you. In the name of Jesus, be gone from us, be gone from the church, and be gone from the United States of America. We sever your invitation. We break your invitation. You are no longer invited. We sever your power in these arenas. We say no. And in the name of Jesus, in every place where there has been a curse, we release a blessing. Wherever there has been a vow against the throne of God, we come into agreement with the kingdom of God, with the throne of God, with the authority of God into this nation. And we declare a blessing in the name of Jesus. Yes, over President Trump, we declare a blessing as in every way that he goes, that he would hear your voice, that he would be blessed to know your will, that he would be blessed to understand your heart, that he would be blessed to release your grace, that he would be blessed to go forward as an anointed man to accomplish the purposes for which you have positioned him in this place. In Jesus' name, we declare a blessing over President Trump. We also bless Pelosi. We also bless Schumer and the rest of our representatives at each level. We just declare a blessing over our congresspeople, the Supreme Court justices, lower court justices, our state supreme and lower court justices, and our state representatives and governor. We just declare your blessing in the name of Jesus. And we declare a season and a time of blessing over this nation. We declare it in Jesus' name that going forward from now, that there is a place and a time, a season appointed for blessing, and we declare it. Blessing, blessing, blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning when I was getting ready for church, I was quite entertained by our cat. There was a fly stuck in between the window and the screen, and the cat was just going crazy trying to get to that fly, jumping around, leaping, reaching back and forth, and I knew the Lord was speaking through that, and I was reminded of a prophetic word I was listening to last night where the Lord said through this prophet that this is a Psalm 91 season. And
Psalm 91
season.
Okay.
And I was thinking how that fly was protected from the danger, you know, by the window there. And so I thought maybe I'd like to pray and decree Psalm 91 over President Trump together. We could? Okay. So Lord, we decree that President Trump, who dwells in the shelter of you, Most High God, will abide in your shadow. He will say to you, Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is you, God, who delivers him from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. You, God, will cover him with pinions, and under your wings he will seek refuge. Your faithfulness, Lord, is a shield and a bulwark for President Trump. He will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at his side and 10,000 at his right hand, but it shall not approach him. He will only look on with his eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For he has made you, Lord, his refuge, even you, Most High, his dwelling place. So no evil shall befall him, we decree in Jesus' name, nor will any plague come near his tent. For you, God, will give your angels charge concerning him, to guard him in all his ways. They will bear him up in their hands, that he does not strike his foot against a stone. He will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and serpent he will trample down. Because he has loved you, Lord, therefore you will deliver him. We decree you will set him securely on high, because he has known your name. He will call upon you, and you will answer him. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you will be with him in trouble, that you will rescue him and honor him, and with a long life you will satisfy him and let him see your salvation. We thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Amen. So be it.
Now, in the name of Jesus, wherever there has been something stolen because of our inaction or because of those curses or vows, we declare that it is season for him and therefore our nation, for him and our nation to receive the blessings that were supposed to be there. We declare it in Jesus' name. We declare not only a return of that which was stolen, but a sevenfold return in Jesus' name over his life and over his calling, his position, the appointments of his positioning in Jesus' name. Amen.
All those things that he's been attacked with are things that God wants him to overcome. And when he overcomes them for the nation, so that the nation is free from rejection and from oppression and robbery and all of the things that have been happening to him. And so it's really important for us to keep praying for him, because he leads us into those things.
So we declare a breaking of rejection, a breaking of robbery. What else did you say? A breaking of
oppression
in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that he has been positioned to do those, not just for himself, but on our behalf. And we say, thank you, God. You are so good. And we bless this man who has stood in the gap. We bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have to... often is that we'd like God to judge the wicked and beat him up and knock him down and put him in jail and wipe him out or something. And the heart of the Messiah is that they get saved. I mean, the reason we're told to pray for those in authority in Timothy, I guess it is, the reason is that God wants us to live in peace and that all men everywhere be saved, you know? God is looking for the salvation of these people, not just their bleeding in a heap outside the door. And so this morning we have prayed with that desire that God's good purposes, eternal purposes, would be accomplished in President Trump, but throughout the government at large. I'd like us to just pray one more prayer, and that would be this. I pray that we would be faithful with these things in the days ahead, and that the Church of Jesus Christ would move more and more into that reality of praying for those in authority, not against them. In Jesus' name. Can you imagine what a change our country would occur in our country if 80% of those in Congress got radically born again? So, oh, could never happen. Oh, small God you got. Can you imagine what a radical change would occur? Well, Why not? Why not? Why not? Amen. Let's look at the scriptures that are in front of us, and we'll try to hurry right along and be done here soon. The message this morning is all there. I'll ramble a little bit. You can sleep during the ramblings, but when I'm reading the scriptures, pay attention. For God saved us and called us to live a holy or other life. You remember in the definition of holy, it is other, other than the natural man, other than the temporal reality. The holiness of God is totally other than anything that the normal, natural approach to life is about. God has chosen us, saved us, and called us to live a holy life, the other life, to participate with God in otherness. He did this not because we deserved it. He didn't call us or save us because we deserved it. I'm trying to get you to think, why did he do it if we didn't deserve it? But because that was his plan from the beginning of time, the eternal plan of God. God's eternal plan was that we would live an other life, a life that is so other that it's totally dependent upon God himself, who is the other God, who is the holy God, something that's so radically different from what is normal or natural. His plan from eternity was that we would participate with him in his life, with his life, the otherness of his life would be manifested in our lives. That's what it says there, by the way. I'm not really adding to it, I'm just saying that's how it is. Because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, his eternal plan. To show us his grace, that supernatural ability and provision through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you have thought of that scripture with those words, but I think it is valid and important for us to read that using those words. God saved us and called us to live an other life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because it was his eternal plan before the beginning of time. When you talk about before the beginning of time, there's no other way to look at it. It has to be eternal if it's before time, right? And so this was his plan before time began, let alone anything that came out of time, creation or mankind, to show us his supernatural ability and provision through Jesus Christ. You got that? That's what it says, just in case you didn't know. Moving on to Ephesians chapter 2. God saved you by his grace when you believed. His grace, which is that supernatural ability and provision when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God, this grace, this gift, this supernatural ability and provision. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that you have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus with supernatural abilities and provisions so that we can do the good things which he planned for us long ago, the eternal plan and destiny. Are you reading this? Doesn't it say a whole lot more when you put those words in it, what it actually means? Just understand what it means. And so I read it as with the words, God saved you by his supernatural ability when you believed. You can't take credit for this supernatural ability and provision which comes from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done or we have done.
So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. Notice we are His masterpiece for what? When we were born in the natural world, we're a masterpiece. But when we're born again, supernaturally, we're a double masterpiece. I mean, this is beyond which was His plan from before time. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathen by the Jews who were proud in their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. Now moving to Romans 12, starting with verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give, that is, yield your bodies because of all He has done for you. And I would like you to think about this. If God has put supernatural stuff into you, Paul is saying, understanding what He's done for you, yield your bodies. What does it mean to yield? Give up control. Give over control. Somebody else said something? Make way for. Allow for. Considering what He has done, acknowledging that from before time began, He had a plan, a destiny for you. Yield, give up control, yield to Him so that He can accomplish His destiny. Accomplish your destiny. Yield to Him. So, dear brothers, I plead with you to give up or yield your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. Let them, the bodies, be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Now, this happens to be the New Living Translation, but it is so clear. Yielding to God is worship. The New American Standard says, which is your reasonable service of worship. The New Living Translation says, this is worship. Yielding to God is worship. I can get right to the end of the sermon right here and now, and the point that I'm trying to get to and what I believe the Lord is calling us to is, let your days be a continual yielding to God, allowing Him to fulfill your destiny. He has a plan from before time, an eternal plan concerning you, which incorporates the power, the presence, the purposes of God. And He's saying, considering that that's a reality, yield to Him. And so when I get to the end, this is what I'm going to try to say, is that yielding to Him isn't something you do once and that's it. It's a beginning and a continuation and a continuation and a continuation of yielding to Him so that He can accomplish His purposes in you and through you. We would like, wouldn't it be nice if we could snap our fingers and all be done all at once? But yielding to Him is a process. He's looking for a people who see the destiny that God has set out in front of them, and He calls them to yield so that He can accomplish the destiny within them during their time here on earth. I'm going to read 12 again. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. King James says, I beg you, with you to yield or give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and other sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. We don't have to work very hard at copying the behaviors and customs of this world. That comes pretty naturally. And so there is a process of yielding ourselves so that he can accomplish his purposes, which is other, it's different from. It's that which comes out of eternity into time. Then moving on, do not copy the behavior customs of this world, but let or allow God to transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And so here it is, let or allow. And again, I don't see it as being done in a moment. I wish it were. You know, what's very interesting about walking with God is that you may say, all right, I'm done. I'm never going to have another drink. And bingo, it's done. It's all done. You never have another drink. And you don't even want another drink. And you think, boy, that was easy. And then you're struggling with cussing or something. And you try and you try and you try and you never get anywhere. Been there? There are other areas that don't yield. And so we think that maybe God doesn't do that. But you know so-and-so and such-and-such, they went to God and said, I don't ever want to cuss again. And bingo, it was all taken care of, and they never did. And you think, why is it that they did, but I can't? Each of us have opportunity to allow God to accomplish his purposes. And the necessity is that he accomplish the change. It's not a matter of willpower, it's a matter of God power, a release of his power to accomplish it. Allow God to transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now I want to just pause here before I move on, but just catch this, that yielding to God, you may say, okay, I'm dealing with cussing. I want that dealt with. And God begins to deal with something altogether different. Maybe levels of tension in your life. Maybe your unforgiveness related to XYZ over here. It has nothing to do with cussing. But he begins to deal with XYZ over here, and little by little by little by little, and all of a sudden the level of tension drops down, and you never cuss again. Do you see what I'm saying? He knows where he needs to be working, and we need to yield to him for his working over here to accomplish what else he's trying to do. Go ahead, Dave.
So I was still thinking about yield and defining yield. And I often think, well, I think the obvious concept in my mind is driving and you pull up to a yield sign. And so that's where I said, make way for. Well, making way for is actually a merge. Mm-hmm. A yield isn't a merge. It's a giving preference.
Yep.
To.
The other guy goes first.
And I thought that was an interesting, if you put that in there, I plead with you to give preference to God. Skip a bunch of the phrases. Don't copy. But allow God. You've given him preference, and allow God to transform you. You know, I skipped a few of the sentences just to
Get it together, yeah.
Yeah, but to me that was an interesting, because yield and merge are the same thing, except they're not.
No.
They're very distinctly different.
Merging is almost equally, or equally going to give room. Yielding says you get preference, you go first.
You go first.
Yielding,
you
go first. You go first. Merging is, let's swap it back and forth. We both have a right here, and we're just going to meld together little by little. The yielding says, you have priority. You go first. You have the right to make the call. All right, moving over to the next page. Paul goes on to say, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think of yourselves as better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself by the faith of God, by the faith that God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. That is, that grace is that supernatural ability and provisions. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving, then serve well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you a leadership ability, take the responsibility of seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness, then do it gladly. Now notice that he's talking about two things, and he's making it very clear that different members of your physical body are granted to do different things. You hear with your ear. You don't tell your big toe to listen carefully. You recognize that your big toe has a very real responsibility in keeping you upright, enabling you to go forward or to stop, but he doesn't do very well in listening. And your hand does something very well, many things very well, which your ear can't even begin to do, or your nose, or your foot. The variety of members in your body have certain assignments. And he goes on, Paul says, he says, now I've been called of God to instruct you, and he's saying, I want you to recognize that God equips you to do different things. You need to be what God has equipped you and called you to be. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself as God's calling on your life and yield to that calling. I've been around long enough so that I could almost say that with Paul that maybe I've seen a few things. And I have seen two radically different things in the body of Christ during my 40 plus years of ministry, full-time ministry, but 70 some years in the church. And I have found two different, you know, you've probably heard this, if the devil can't tempt you to be bad, he'll tempt you to be good. You've heard that? Well, the application of that is just as real. If he can't tempt you to go get drunk and rob a bank, then he'll tempt you to be Billy Graham's replacement. In other words, you don't let God doesn't make the assignment. You begin to pursue your own assignment. And so if the devil can't tempt you to rob a bank, he'll tempt you to be Billy Graham the second. Or something of that nature. And I recognize something, that in this passage, Paul is saying, God has a plan from before time began. God has a destiny that he has assigned to you before time began. He has poured out his grace, supernatural abilities, to accomplish that destiny. And you probably don't have the Billy Graham anointing. Now, if he has called you to be Billy Graham the second, he will give you a Billy Graham anointing so that you can go and be a Billy Graham. But if you attempt to be a Billy Graham the second without the calling and anointing of God, it's like your foot trying to feed your mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's so obvious. And that's what Paul was saying. And I have seen tremendous difficulties in the church because somebody has decided they're going to be Billy Graham the second. Listen to this one. It's also true.
If I were a Billy Graham II, if I really were, then I want to go around and tell you, you got to be Billy Graham II, and you got to be Billy Graham III, and you got to be Billy Graham, and everybody's got to, no, you don't, you're not supposed to take on my assignment, you're supposed to take on your assignment. And where do you get your assignment from? God. And He has an assignment. And He has the equipment, and He has poured out the assignment and the equipment. It is your destiny. And if you're running around being Billy Graham II when He has called you to do this over here, you miss your destiny. You catch the picture. Your destiny is not being Billy Graham. Your destiny is being George or Peter or whomever you are called to be. And He knows which is which. When George was talking last week about silver and gold, wood, hay, and stubble, a lot of what we do is wood, hay, and stubble. Even good wood, hay, and stubble. Which is a tragedy. Because it robs us of our destiny. Do you follow what I'm saying? God has a plan. He has a destiny. He's got it lined up. And then you say, well, I got a better idea. And God's, this whole passage is, yield yourself to Him. Yield your body, your various members to Him to accomplish His purposes, and He will accomplish His purposes and you'll enter into your destiny. I couldn't hear you. That was Coralie's word. This morning when I read Coralie's word, I had to chuckle because she had no idea where I was going, but the idea that Esther was just being Esther. The best Esther she knew how to be. She wasn't trying to be Billy Graham. I guess sometimes women are called Billy. But she wasn't trying to be Billy Graham in the palace. She was just being Esther. And when it came time, God says, here's your assignment. And Esther was like, oh. Everybody fast and pray. But she had been faithful every step up until that point. And so then she was able to take the next step into her destiny for such a time as this. We talk about for such a time as this. There is a time, such a time as this. There is, for each person. But not everybody is supposed to be Esther or Billy Graham II. Every person should be walking, allowing God to accomplish His purpose one step at a time. So such a time as this, they're in position to take the next step. Yeah, the such a time as this. Yeah, we like to evaluate it on terms of will she shake the nation? Well, she is. Coralie is shaking the nation at home with three little boys, and she is shaping three little boys that will impact the nation. I just want you to catch the picture here. She is not called to be Billy Graham II, but she has been called to be a wife and mother. And will you take on that responsibility and be that person, or are you going to chase off after becoming Billy Graham II or Catherine Kuhlman III? One Catherine Kuhlman is enough. Who are you called to be, and are you willing to be that? Now listen, this thing about yielding has to do with a way of life. I'd like to challenge you every morning, George too. This morning, Father, I yield my members and my day to You. However You want me to be, I yield to You. I'm not going to define to You what I'm going to do, except that I'm going to yield to You so that You can accomplish Your purposes in me and through me today. I yield. And I believe, this is now it's just plain George, but I believe that if we were a people who continually yielded, there would be some days you'd walk away and say, oh, that was a wasted day. Without recognizing that sometimes God goes ahead and does stuff that we don't even know about. But if we are willing to be yielded to him day after day. I think about Jerry Fry. He drives a school bus. And he drives a school bus for handicapped kids. I mean, kids that they're not off the wall, they're hanging on the wall. And there are times when Jerry would like to bring a rope with them and a gag, stuff the gag in their mouth and tie their hands to their feet and park them in the seat, you know. All right, so that would be a very natural way of handling it. Gritted teeth, barely hanging on to getting through the day, but then maybe a better way. All right, this is Jerry Fry's daily existence. He goes and he pauses in front of this house, and the kid comes out the door doing cartwheels, and he spits on the floor just as he comes in the bus. Phew, thanks a lot. Really love my job. Or Jerry can say, okay, Lord, I'm yielding myself, my hands, my mouth, my mind, my lips, and however you want to use me today, I'm here. And here I am. The whole day goes by, and he didn't cuss all day long. Well, that's a success. But there are things that God will accomplish in Jerry Fry and through Jerry Fry if he's yielded. You see the picture? And there's an eternal destiny that's being worked out in Jerry Fry driving a school bus. There is an eternal destiny that's being worked out. Now, let me just continue this just a little bit. Jerry determines that he's going to be a godly, God instrument in the school bus all year long, every day. Here I am again. Yeah, yesterday I was a little bit tight-jawed. I really felt like telling the kid where to go. I managed not to do it, but I really felt like it. And the kid read it. Kid got it. You don't have to say it. And so Jerry says, now, yesterday it wasn't too good, God, at least I don't think, but I didn't cuss at anybody, but I yield myself again to you today. What do you think God does? Thank you, Jerry. I'm moving in to accomplish my purposes in your life. And Jerry makes it through the day without a disaster. And he said, well, that wasn't very good. But you want to know what? God counts that as a brilliant success. He has dropped something of his grace into Jerry, and some of it leaked into his passengers.
Can I tell you a story about a bus driver?
Yeah, you talked to me about a bus driver. This is about 100 years ago when you were just a kid? Yeah. That's almost 100 years ago.
I had a bus driver for about 4 years, and he was awesome. We had this new kid that got on the bus. He was living right up in town, and he started picking fights like crazy. The rest of us on the bus pretty much knew the bus driver, and so we didn't do that kind of thing. But this kid was going to challenge everything. And I'll never forget, our bus driver never said a word. He pulled over. The kid was up and picking fights. And he just pulled over. And we didn't go anywhere. And so then the kid wanted to pick a fight with him. And so he just motioned to him to get off the bus. And he called the school. And he had the school send his parents out. And we sat there for half an hour waiting. But I'll never forget that. It was the most peaceful argument I've ever seen in my life. And it is something that I've used in my own life. And it just came from riding on that bus and him never saying anything. He passed away, and his sons came to my office to do their dad's. And I have said to them over and over again, I loved your dad. He was amazing. I learned so much from him.
Mr. Barth.
What was it again?
Barth.
Barth. If your gift, now I'm going to read to you verse 7. Ready? Verse 7 says, if your gift is driving a school bus, drive it well. Is that what it says in verse 7?
Yes.
Something like that. If your responsibility is to be a housewife, do a good job, Coralie. If your responsibility is to raise three young men into godly manhood, you're on your own.
Special supernatural grace.
Do you get the substance of this? It's serious. This is basic Christianity being called forth, and the Apostle Paul is calling it. Now Romans 8. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love God and who are called according to His purpose. I want to ask you, have you been called?
Yes.
Yes, you have been called. And He does have a purpose. He has, from before time began, a plan, a purpose for your life, a destiny set out there. And the way to His destiny is what? Yielding to Him. Now, this particular one says love God. I'll tell you this, a little secret. If you love Him, you'll be able to yield to Him a whole lot better than if you don't love Him. You will keep my commandments. You yield to Him because you love Him. You yield to Him because you know that He loves you and that He has a perfect plan, a perfect destiny laid out for you. Something that, think of this. I want you to think of this. I command you to think of this. Before time began, God sat down and said, Estella Verdell. Ah, she's 2,000 years away. Yeah, 10,000 years away. But there's an Estella coming. And he sits down. And if he had a computer or a little tablet, he would write down Estella Verdell. And then he has the numbers of days. He knows how many days Estella has. And he has, for each day, a plan. And Estella says, well, I think for myself, I've got a better plan. How many of you know that probably God, who before time began, established a plan for Estella, probably has a better plan than Estella does? Without a doubt. And so God says to Estella, I'm calling you, I've chosen you, I've drawn you into the family, and I have a plan for you. And here's how you get to it. You yield yourself and your members to me, and I will accomplish the plan. That is how it's done. Estella, are you willing to yield your days to the living God?
Yes, sir.
She is. Most times.
Most times. You do better than most of us, because a lot of the time we have a better plan than God does. And I want you to recognize just one thing. When we think that we're going to do our better plan, we begin to scrape away our destiny. Now, there's an incredible mercy and grace of God who enables us to even restore our destiny. But I don't think you should be planning on that all the rest of your life. You repent and you cry out to God, and He says, okay, I got another way of getting there. We're going to get you there.
Our plans are like alchemy. They turn gold and silver and precious stones into wood, hay, and straw.
That's for sure. Our plans really are a disaster. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. In the midst of the things that don't look good, God causes good. Do you follow what he's saying here? God will cause good to come out of it, even in those cases where it doesn't look good for those who are called according to his purposes. For those whom he foreknew, he also destined. And of course, the word is predestined. I want you to just, I just love that word, destined, better than predestined. The predestined has so much religious connotations on it, it's almost like God has defined it and you're not going to get out of it. But there is a destiny that God has for you that is glorious. Stuff that he designed way back before time began. And he has this in mind for you. And he has called you to come into his kingdom to accomplish that destiny. For those he foreknew, that is, before time began, he saw Estella. And he says, I see Estella. And I got a plan for her. And those he foreknew, he also destined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he destined or predestined, he called. And those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. That is, he united them with himself. What shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can begin against us? But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God has designed it to accomplish his purposes in Christ Jesus. The glorified, those that he predestined, he also glorified. He glorified with the intention of a union with himself so that his nature and his character and his power and his purposes would be released through you. Does that mean you're going to be a Billy Graham plus one? No. God isn't into making ticky-tacky everything the same. He's interested in making a unique, glorified Estella Verdau to become all that he has before time began designed her to be. There's a destiny for you, Estella, that God designed 20,000 years before to accomplish his purposes in you. And part of that is the glory that he has given you as a child in union with him. The purposes and the power and the purposes and the grace of God being released in your life to accomplish his purposes. Will you yield yourself to him for that purpose? And I want to say it again. It's a yielding as a way of life. I'd like to challenge you, everyone, to begin your day with, God, I want to be yielded to you in whatever that means throughout my day. I want to manifest your grace into my world, however that looks, wherever that happens. I present myself. Do not define, this is how you do it, God. Frankly, he already knows how to do it and better than you do. Yield yourself. Allow him, let him, yield it to him to accomplish his purposes. One last thought. Can you imagine what a difference our whole world would be if the church, just the church, lived with that determination to be what God has called them to be? Just the church. When we were praying and confessing and praying, breaking off the curses over our nation and release just the church, if the church would be the church, yielded to him to accomplish his purposes in them and through them releasing the purposes of God, the blessing, the word of God, the destiny through their confession.
what a different world we would live in. I want to recognize just one more thing, and then I'm done. Again, I want to remind you that in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual realm where God exists, He does things by speaking. He says it, and it's done. When we step into His kingdom, His realm of authority, we step into speaking rather than doing. Not rather. But the emphasis is understanding this is what His purpose is, and we declare it, we believe it, we confess it. To step into what He is saying, we step into the kingdom, the spiritual reality of the kingdom. Would to God that we would be a people who are tuned and speaking what God has said and is doing. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, which so carefully lays out to us how to grow by yielding. And so this morning we purpose to be a people who are yielded to the purposes of the King, that which has been defined from before time began. We yield our feeble thoughts and foolish thinkings and invite You to lead us into truth and Your eternal purposes. We desire to be a people who leave time behind and participate with Your eternal purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys and girls too. You're free to roll.